Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
We're super happy you're here. My name is Joel. I'm going to be speaking with you for the next few minutes, and we're continuing our series called Fresh Eyes, our Christmas series called Fresh Eyes. You know, what we go through in life, what we go through affects how we view, which affects how we do. What we go through affects how we view, which affects how we view. And I like to think of it like these goggles that I brought up with me this morning. You know, we start to go through different things in life, and it starts to skew our view and starts to a little bit distort our view of how we see different things in life. And so we begin to have goggles on. How do I look in my snowboard goggles preaching this morning? Pretty good. It starts to sort of create a lens for us. And it skews how we can see different things. Like for me, the lens that I have on right now makes things a little bit darker. And it's making it a little bit easier to preach this morning. I'm a little less nervous when I can't see you guys. These lenses, they were made to make things darker. And I think that in life, there's different things that we go through that makes other things seem darker. It changes the way we look at things. And in life, all too often, we look at our circumstances too much and we don't look to God enough. Because he has all the answers, and he created us the way he did for a reason. And I think that if we looked up to him more, instead of through the lens that we create for ourselves and how we look at life, then things would be a lot easier. So when I say the word look up to God, when I say the words like you need to look to God, what am I saying? What does that even mean? Well, I hope we're going to get into a little bit of that today. But for some of you, like you're like, I have no clue what that looks like. You know, I'm not literally saying that when you go through tough things in life, you literally should just look up at God and just hope for the best. Like, I'm not telling you to go this week to that tough job interview that's gonna be tough for you and sit there, and as you start to sort of stress out and go through a little bit of the tough time that job interview is gonna be, I'm not suggesting you sit there and say, oh, just go on, I'm just gonna look up to God today. And the guy's like, excuse me, like, continue, please. And just stand there, yes, I will answer the question. I'm not suggesting that, you know, when you need to confront your teenager on some tough things they've been doing and some things they've been going through, I'm not suggesting you're like, oh, you know what, it's a lot easier if I look up to God instead of look at you because you are really making me angry. I'm just going to talk to you this way. I'm not literally saying look up to God. And I hope we get into that a little bit today. See, here's the thing. We oftentimes look through this lens that we create, and it distorts what situations and what circumstances look like for our life. And for some of it, maybe that lens is created by a past relationship. You know, maybe you went through a really tough breakup. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe you went through something, and it's created, it's this past relationship that's created this lens in how you look at life. Maybe it's different situations or circumstances that you're going through, but all these things start to distort our view. We look at our circumstance, we look at our past, we look at our relationship, we look at it's our finances. Maybe we just keep looking at our finances and it's starting to create this lens, this distorted view for us. We feel like we're never going to get out of this debt. We feel like we're never going to be able to accomplish the things we want to do. We're never going to be able to take that vacation. We're never going to be able to get that house that we dreamed of because in our certain circumstance, they're creating some kind of lens that makes us feel this way. You know, maybe it's our choices. Maybe it's our past choices that we feel like we just keep making the wrong choices, and that puts this lens in front of us. Maybe it's our career. Maybe we feel like, man, I just feel disappointment after disappointment. And so then you just start to create a lens that you just feel like nothing's going to go anywhere. Maybe it's our family. Like maybe it's that we've seen our family go through different things and we've seen our family go through tough times and they haven't been able to pull out of it. So the lens that we have is just that the family that we are in just can't do certain things. And the list goes on. And sometimes it's good things too. Sometimes good things happen to us in life and it starts to create a lens. Like God made us a certain way. God gave us certain gifts that he's given us, and it creates a lens for us. Like some people think they're so much better than they are, but if you remove God from their life, what would their life look like? And some people forget to give God the glory that he made us this way. Everything we have is on loan from him. So the reason we are the way we are, the reason we can make the amount of money we are able to make is because God made us in a special way. And sometimes we just create this lens for life. It's not always bad things. It can be good things too. We end up creating this lens that we look at everything through. And this is why so many people want to control their life. Because this lens puts us in a place where we want to control certain things. And then we act out of fear. We act out of anxiety. We act out of greed. We act out of insecurity because we're looking at things through a lens. You know, maybe that lens was created by your dad. You know, maybe your dad was a workaholic. Like he was at work all the time and you barely got to see him. And so what happens in life is now you look at things and say, I'm never going to be like my dad. So you create this lens. And that lens is what the way you're looking through life is you're approaching your work like I'm never gonna be a workaholic. And then what ends up happening is you don't end up giving enough to your job and you never get promoted and you're wondering why I'm frustrated at my job. It's because you're not giving enough. Because you've created this lens that says I'm never gonna be a workaholic and that it's causing you to act in fear and then you're not giving enough to your job. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it was that you had no money whatsoever growing up. Maybe it was that like you really, really struggled and so you said my family's never gonna struggle. We're never gonna go through hard times. And so what happens is we end up being workaholics because all we wanna do is make sure that, you know, life is perfect for our kids and our family. We wanna make sure we always have enough money, but your family's sitting there going, what about us? But you've created a lens that's causing you to act out of fear. So we'll go through different things that create this lens. And you're sitting there saying, okay, you said you were gonna do a Christmas series. I thought this was gonna be fun. We were gonna talk about swirly twirly gumdrops and elves and all this happy jingle bell stuff. Yeah, okay, just follow me here. Follow me here. We're gonna get into Christmas today. And I think this topic has everything to do with Christmas because for Christmas, you know, this season, for many, many people, this season is a reminder of lack. It's a reminder of loss. It's a reminder of what used to be, who's not around anymore. It's a reminder of, you know, it can be a tough time, whatever circumstance we're going through, it can be a tough time for people. So I think that what I'm talking about today has everything to do with Christmas because here's the thing. At Christmas, our Heavenly Father gave us a new way to view life. That's what Fresh Eyes is all about. That at Christmas time, our Heavenly Father gave us a new way to view life. And this can change how we do life. This it's such a special gift that we have, and we need to remember that how we view affects how we do. How we view affects how we do. Today we're going to go into the story of Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, and it's on the massive Bibles behind me and beside me as well. Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who's lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So we're going to look at the shepherds today. And the cool thing about the shepherds, and what I find that is interesting about these guys, is that from what we can tell, these shepherds weren't religious at all. They weren't in some temple, and they weren't even aware of what was happening on earth at that time. They were at work, doing what they always did, taking care of sheep. I believe it's called shepping. I'm not sure what shepherds, what exactly their role would be called. They're shepping away in the field. We're going to call it shepping today. They're out in the field, shepping these sheep. And in all likeliness, they're sitting around a campfire. What do you do when you sit around a campfire? You talk about life. You know, you talk about the different things that you've gone through or are going through. And they're sitting there, normal, everyday, looking at their circumstance. You know, they're looking out for predators. And they're, you know, taking care of home. They're doing their work. And in a moment, they stop looking at what they're going through in life. And God gives them a completely new view on life. So here's what happens today. We're going to go through 4 points that we can find from Luke chapter 2 on these shepherds. 4 points of what the shepherds have done that we can take and apply to our lives. See, every good pastor can find 4 points in anything. I have realized that. In order to be a pastor, you just got to really over-exaggerate your stories and find 4 points in everything. That's pretty much all it takes. You got to be able to do it. You got to look at your shoes and just be like, oh, I can find 4 points, you know, like the soul and the strength and then the ropes being tied together is like us and God. I don't know. Like, you got to be able to find 4 points in anything. So that's what we're going to do today. In Luke chapter 2, 4 points we take from the shepherds. Number one, they saw. Number one, they saw. You're like, okay, saw, all right, what is going on here? I was getting more from those kids. Can we bring them back up? Well, check it out. In the text, it says, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. So we have to have enough spiritual IQ to realize that God is doing something. Like, we have to have our radar up and have the spiritual IQ to be able to say, like, God is doing things in our world in 2017. Does anyone in this room believe that? I do. And I know that sometimes CNN and Facebook would tell you otherwise, and it's easy to get kind of bombarded by all these other sources that we have of opinions in our world. But the fact of the matter is, when I look up and look at the reality of the world around me, that God is doing things in our world. God's still doing things. And we have to realize he's still God and he's still good. And you have to allow yourself to have enough radar to recognize the things that he's doing in the world around you. We have to see that God is doing things. And if you're having a hard time with that, I would suggest just trying it here at church, because that's so encouraging to me. See, it's so easy to just, because many of us have been in church for years, it's so easy to come up on just another Sunday, another part of our, you know, weekly routine, and we come and we go, and sometimes we forget how special this is. Like, in some countries, this is illegal. You know what I'm saying? And we still get to do this. And not only that, but there's people who are giving their time, giving their resources, their finances to make this thing happen every single week, that God's still working in people's lives. But you have to have your radar up to see it. But I love coming to church on Sundays. That's what I love about being a part of this. One of the things I love is just, man, taking the goggles off of the week and saying, I'm not going to be negative no more. I'm just going to look at what God's doing and allow myself. But you have to allow yourself to see. Just like the shepherds, you have to allow yourself to see what God is doing. You have to choose to see it. Number one, they saw. Number two, they spread. Number two thing about the disciples is they spread. It says in the text, they spread the word. The Bible says we are to be a light to the world. And kids are so good at spreading things, aren't they? Kids are so good at spreading things. My son is so good at spreading his food all over the house. But kids are so good at spreading different things. Man, they love spreading their germs. They're good at spreading those. But they're also good at spreading stories, aren't they? If you do something wrong, you know, people with like 5, maybe 6-year-olds in the house, like you do something wrong, kids love to talk about. I remember love being a kid and talk about the stupid things my dad would do at home. But I have friends who like their kids are telling me stories and they're like, no, shut up, stop. But kids love telling stories. And kids are so good at spreading. I have a friend who goes to church here, and he's told me multiple times different stories about his daughter spreading the good news about our church specifically. He just moved here about a year ago, and when she meets people, his little daughter, she's 4 years old, when she meets people, they ask, you know, how she's liking Edmonton and all that, and she always, especially people from back home, but also her teachers, everything, she loves telling them,
I love Edmonton. My church has a bouncy castle.
That's the first thing she tells people. My church has a bouncy castle. She's spreading the good news. And what's the point of having the greatest gift on earth if we're not willing to spread it with people? I'm not talking about the bouncy castle. People are like, greatest bouncy castle. But what's the point of having the greatest gift on earth if we're not willing to share it with others? We need to tell people. We need to tell people about what God's doing. We have to have the spiritual IQ to see what he's doing, but then spread it as well. Because I think all too often it's way too easy to go through life and not talk about what God is doing and just kind of go on with life and not be intentional about just bringing it up. And then, you know, we come to a point like Christmas time and people are willing to come to church and we end up inviting them out of the blue, but we haven't given them any context whatsoever about what this is. And we need to be able to just simply bring up in regular everyday conversations, be intentional about bringing up what God is doing in our lives. And that will open people's eyes to what could happen in theirs as well. We just need to be intentional about bringing up what God is doing. Man, I can totally forget sometimes to just remember and talk about how good God's been to me. And you know what? Here's the beauty of it. We have this beautiful miracle called social media. And if you don't, it is a miracle. It is a miracle that we have a voice in this day and age, that anyone, anywhere, anytime has a voice, as long as they have the LTE internet, you know what I'm saying? But that we have a voice that we can speak about what God is doing in our lives. And in 90 seconds, we can quickly write something out and boom, tell every single person that we know, that's on social media, about what God is doing in our lives. Like, that is so special to me. What a miracle that we have. But you have to choose to be intentional that saying, God, you gave me a resource. It's a miracle that I have this. I'm going to use this resource for good. And take 90 seconds and just say how good you've been to me. I think there's power in just posting about how good God has been to us. The wise men spread it. And I think we can, not the wise men, the shepherds. I apologize. The shepherds. The wise men were good too. Well, we're not talking about them today. We're talking about the shepherds, and they spread the good news of what happened. Like, they could have showed up at the manger and been like, yo, it's just like the angel said. That's awesome. Good job, God. And they could have peaced out and went on with life and, you know, gave God the thumbs up, but that's not what he's looking for. Man, God needs us to spread his good news. Everybody else is spreading what they think is good or bad news. We need to spread what's happening in our world. Psalms 96:3 says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. We need to spread it. Number three today, and don't worry, we're not going to be late because my iPad only has 7% on the battery, so you're going to get out of here in time for lunch. Number three today, this is my favorite point of these 4 points, is they were amazed. They were amazed. When was the last time you were amazed at God? When was the last time you took a moment to be amazed at our great God? Man, in the text, it doesn't specifically say that, oh, then the shepherds were amazed. But what does it say? All who heard it were amazed. So everyone who heard what they were saying were amazed. Imagine how much more amazed these shepherds are. You know what I mean? You have to read between the lines a little bit on this one. But imagine how much more the shepherds were amazed that everyone who heard it were amazed. This happens to me every single time I go to the mountains. Like right as we drive into Banff National Park, every single time I'm amazed at God. But you have to be intentional about opening your eyes to those certain things. Like every single time I drive in, this is literally, I can't even stop myself. I cannot control myself. I literally say this every single time we're there. How can people say there is no God? When I look at the beauty of these mountains, I just say, how can people say there is no God? When was the last time you just took even just a moment to be amazed at God? Don't ever stop being amazed at him or what he's doing. And the fact that he gave you such an amazing wife, such an amazing husband, such amazing kids, such a great life, even just the country that you live in, the country that we get to live in. Man, we need to be amazed that God put us here. It's incredible. And this is how I love to live life. You know, recently I just drove right across the street to Wendy's. And that's no surprise to you. But I drove across the street to Wendy's and I just turned around and just looked at our property. And specifically, I looked at the manger scene that's out front. And I think it's pretty amazing. I like it. I think it's beautiful. I think it was done really well. But here's, I wasn't just amazed at the setup of it. What I was amazed at, and what probably most people would not know, is that volunteers came in and spent their time to paint that thing. You know, other volunteers took time away from their family. They could have been anywhere else in the world, and they spent time building that thing. And they spent time assembling that thing, you know, and putting that thing up. Like, to me, that's amazing, that people love God so much that they would take time to set something amazing like that up and allow it for it to speak to thousands of people every day as they drive it by. Thousands of people drive by that thing every day and are reminded what this season is all about. To me, that's amazing. In the Bible, it says we're to be like little children. And we are to be like little children. In Matthew 18:2-4, it says, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Man, I love how little children are amazed at things. Don't you love that? I love that. And sometimes as adults, again, we just build up too much of a filter in front of us that we stop being amazed at things. You know what I'm saying? We stop being amazed at things. If you want to see a child be amazed, put the show Paw Patrol on your TV. I'm telling you right now, I did this for my niece and nephew this week. It was early in the morning. Okay, don't judge me. And I had to put on Paw Patrol so I could get ready for work. And they were amazed at this show. Like, they were, like, dazed and confused. Like, they were in a trance watching this show. Like, it was just jaws wide open. Paw Patrol was everything. And it was so cool to just see kids be so amazed with something. Now, the show's annoying. The colors are way too bright. And the name is hard to say for little kids. It's a terrible name for little kids. Paw Patrol. Anyways, but that's aside from the fact. I just think that the Bible is reminding us that we need to be amazed, just like my friend's little girl, who's just amazed at the fact there's a bouncy house here. We need to be amazed at what God is doing, just like kids are so amazed at Paw Patrol. I want to show you a picture today, just in a sec, not yet. But anybody remember who Andre the Giant was? Okay, Andre the Giant, this massive wrestler. He's like 7'4". He weighs like 400 pounds, something like that. The guy is literally a giant. His name was Andre the Giant. He was literally just huge, this massive dude. And he's in an airport one day. He's going to catch a flight, and this little boy sees him. And luckily, there was a photographer there to capture this moment. We can put that picture up now. Andre, there you are. Look at the expression on that little boy's face. Look at the expression on his face. I love it. That is an expression of being in awe, right? He's just amazed at the size of this man. Like, I just love it. And this little boy could have been going through life, just looking around, just doing his thing. But then he looks up, and he's just amazed at this man. I love it. I love it. And this is someone who is in awe. And this is the position, this is the posture I feel that we need to take in this Christmas season. That we're just in awe of who God is. And I don't know, maybe like instead of just looking around, instead of looking through the lens of what we're going through, we need to be able to take that off and just see God for who he is and how much he loves him and be in awe of him again. Maybe you feel like you don't have enough time. Maybe you feel like you don't have enough money. Maybe you feel like it's both. But I just think that when we take our eyes off those things, and I'm not saying deny reality whatsoever, I'm just saying take your eyes off of them and back onto God and who he made you to be. Right. We need to be in awe of who God is. Number four point today is the shepherds, they praised. In the text it says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. See, the step after amazed must be praised. Like, we can't just take a position of, oh, I see what God's doing, that's great, tell people about it and be amazed at it, but then not praise him for it. There's such an important step after that. And like I said, it's not enough to just give God the thumbs up. Hey, great, that's good, I like it. But don't ever stop praising him for who he is, for what he's done, but also for who he is. But also for who he is. You see, for me, I'm still thanking God for things he did 10 years ago, over 10 years ago. You know, like when I get into a place where I feel like I need something from God, or where sometimes when I feel like I'm in a place that's kind of desperate, I try to stop myself just from asking God for things all the time, because I wouldn't want someone to have a relationship with me like that. And if someone is like that, well, we don't have much of a relationship, I'll just say that. But I don't want to ever get myself into a place where I'm constantly sitting there asking God for things. I want to have my place in my relationship with God at a place where I'm thanking him for what he's already done, where I'm thanking him for what he's given me, where I'm also just praising him for who he is. Not just asking him for things all the time, because there is a power in a thank you. There's power in a thank you. Did anybody's mama teach them that there's power in saying thank you? Come on, anybody in the room with good mamas today? I tell you what, let's give it up for our moms before we go on with the service. My mom, she taught us boys how to say thank you. And she did this by, she would cook us a meal once a month. No, just kidding. She was in the first service. I couldn't tell that joke. She's not in this one. I'm free, like a dog with no leash. But at dinner time, we'd be, you know, there's four boys in our house, so we'd just be like scarfing down food, just like swallowing, not even chewing, just going nuts, and just getting ready to play N64 again. But we would just swallow our food like crazy, and in the middle of dinner, if we hadn't said anything, she'd always like clear her throat and look at my dad as she's clearing her throat. And my dad always kind of the same look, like as if he was surprised that this was happening again, and we all knew what was going on. And he's like, oh, yeah, boys, thank your mom for the dinner. Come on, thank you. And what she was doing, though, what she was doing was she was training us to say thank you, right? She was raising us in a way because she knew the power of a thank you. And I think that we need to remember the power of a thank you towards God. That even though he's not sitting there asking us to do it, training us to do it, we need to be disciplined enough to say, God, I'm going to say thank you. In this season, whether I feel like a lot of need or not, I'm going to thank you for what I already have, what you've already given me, who you are. And I feel like when I say thank you easier, the presence of the Holy Spirit is upon me easier. When I'm just thanking God for what he's already done, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. By just simply saying thank you. It works for your mama and it works for your God. Come on, say thank you. See, in this moment with these shepherds in this field, they went from looking through their goggles at what was going on in life, and they saw with fresh eyes. They were able to see with fresh eyes, and they went from looking at what they were going through to looking up to God. And this is the beauty of Christmas. And their focus went on from their circumstance onto God. Yeah. And God intervened and gave them a new place to view life and to view him. And I wonder how many of us went through 2017 with goggles on and constantly looking at what we were going through, constantly focused on the things that we thought were tough, the things that, you know, had bothered us, instead of looking up at God. And saying, listen, I know who you created me to be. I know who I'm supposed to be, and I know that who you are. And I'm not saying, like I said before, I'm not saying we deny reality. and say, oh, no, there's no credit adjuster coming after me. You know, there's no one going to repossess anything, or there's, you know, this business deal, it'll just figure itself out. Like, I'm not saying we deny anything tough that we're going through. I'm not saying, you know, just turn your back on your marriage that's struggling and it'll figure itself out. Do not do that, please. Please. I'm not saying deny reality. What I'm saying is we have to let God define us, not our circumstance define us. And look up and let God define who we are. And it says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to whom his favor rests. And when you view life in that way, something powerful happens. So I just want to ask you a question today. Who is bigger right now in your life? Your God or your circumstances? Who are you allowing to be bigger in your life, your God or your circumstance? And when we constantly look up, God takes his rightful place, and so do our circumstances. God comes first. God comes before any of that. But for some people, man, we're scared to look up. For some people, like, we don't even know what, like, it means. There's no familiarity with looking up, or it's a new thing for us. Man, for some people, we're convinced that God is mad at us. For some people, we're convinced that God's disappointed or frustrated or exhausted with us. But we need to look at the Christmas story again. See, God went to great lengths to show these ordinary shepherds in this field who, from what we can tell, have no connection to the story whatsoever before this. God just went and found some ordinary people and went the distance to tell them, hey, I did this for you. He went to some ordinary people and said, hey, man, I love you. I care about you. And my peace and my favor is upon you. It's another reason why I love the Andre the Giant picture, and you can bring it up again right now. See, the picture of the boy is amazing. The boy is amazing, but don't ignore the picture of Andre as well. Don't ignore his face. Because look at the peace he has. You know, he's in an airport, probably running to catch a flight, the most stressful place on earth, an airport. And he's there just giving this boy his time and having a moment to let this boy just be in awe of who he is. And it's a smile of grace and understanding. And you gotta realize, when you're that big, people are looking at you all the time, everywhere you go. Like, it's just how it is. When you are a full foot taller than everyone, people are constantly looking at you. Like, seriously, I have friends who are that size. Not that big, but close. But look at, like, I just love how Andre looks at him, and I think it's a good picture of how God sees us. He loves us, he created us, and even if we feel like we're frustrating him, even if we feel like we've let him down, even if we feel like we've turned our backs on him, he still looks at us with grace, he still looks at us with peace, he still loves us so much, he still created you, he still loves you, you're still his son, you're still his daughter, and when you begin to understand how God sees you, you begin to look at life with fresh eyes. But we got to take the goggles off and look up to him. And my hope is that we would be a church full of people who look up knowing God is looking on us with peace and favor. This is the Christmas story, and it's one of the reasons I just love being a part of this church. It's just, we have this opportunity to remember to look up to God. And as we do and realize that he looks at us with peace and favor, it grows our faith. And it encourages us and inspires us. Just remember, God has a better life for you. But you need to take the goggles off. You need to stop looking through what you're going through. You got to stop looking at what you're going through. Let it, because that's the thing. These lenses make me feel like I'm in a darker place than I am in. But I got to let that light in. I got to let his light in. And so here's my challenge to you today. Very simple. It's super warm outside, so it's really simple. Tonight, before you go to bed, when the kids are in bed, when your dog stops barking, when you're done watching Stranger Things season 2, I don't know, whatever you're gonna do tonight, whatever you're gonna do tonight, before bed, when the TV's off, just go outside and just look up. And the God that created the whole universe is the same God that created you, and he knows and loves you. And just take a moment say, God, like, I want to see what you're doing in my life for different people. It's going to mean different things. And God, I'm committed to spreading what you're doing. I'm also committed to being amazed at you, but I'm also committed to praising you and thanking you. So I just challenge you tonight, before you go to bed, take 30 seconds to walk outside and do that. And just remember that, man, we serve an amazing big God. He created all of this, and he created you as well. Hey, as we close today, I just ask you to stand with me. And what we're going to do right before we end this service today is I just want to take a moment with you. And I know that there's people in this room that when I talk about you feeling like God is disappointed or mad at you, or maybe you just feel like you've had no connection to him whatsoever. Maybe you're in the room today and you feel like, you know, this God you're talking about, I don't fully know him yet, but I want to know him more. Or maybe you're in the room today and you kind of understand that, hey, he died for me, but I'm not living for him. And if you're in this room today and you want to make a decision that you want to start living for him, you want to ask him to forgive you of your sins, and you want to begin a journey with him, that you want to start a new life with him, living for him. If you're in this room today and you would like that, I would love to take a moment today, this morning, to pray with you and ask that you pray with me in making that decision together. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird and, you know, walk out of your seat or anything at all. I'm not going to single you out whatsoever. I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand in a moment and just let me know that you're praying the most important prayer you'll ever pray in your life. And we're going to just do this together as a congregation. But before we do, I just want to know who I'm praying with this morning. So I just ask you to just, as everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just as we respect everyone around us who's making such an important decision, as we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just ask you to quickly just shoot up your hand just so I know who I'm praying with today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The best decision you'll ever make. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. You can just put your hands down, and I just ask everybody else in the room just to pray with these people in agreement. But if you're making that prayer, come on, pray it with me like you mean it. Dear Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. From now on, I live for you. I thank you that you love me, that your favor and your peace are upon me. Today I ask you to forgive me of my sins. From now on, I live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's say amen together this morning, church.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.